Thank you, Mr. Patrick.
We have multiple applicants requesting authorization to install a man-made dune system consisting of geotextile bags filled with sand and overtopped with sand and natural vegetation upon their properties located along the Chesapeake Bay at North First Street in the city of Hampton. This project requires a coastal primary sand dune beach permit from this commission because the city of Hampton has not adopted the beach and dune ordinance. Again, the project location is along the Chesapeake Bay shoreline in the Mailer Beach area of City Hampton. Salt ponds located up here, and Buck Road Beach is located to the south. Here's an aerial shot of the project location circled in red. As you can see, the beach is kind of narrow in this location, and it's defended by a series of groins. The groins are fairly old, and starting to show signs of failure. This section of beach is also privately owned compared to the northern areas, which is city-owned, and to the south, which is Buckford Beach. Here's a closer aerial shot showing the nine properties in question outlined in red. We have three groups of properties. The first one to the north consists of two adjacent properties. The second, located in the center of the project area, is four adjacent properties. And the third area to the south is three adjacent properties. Each of these lots is 50 feet wide and extends down to the mean low water mark. There will be an effort by the applicants to try and incorporate more property owners into the dune line system, but right now we do have this three-sectioned area instead of one nice continuous dune. These are some plan view drawings showing the three sections. This is the section to the north, and it's 100 feet in length. This is the middle section, and 200 feet in length. And this is the third section to the south, and 150 feet in length. Each dune section will have an 18-foot return, except for this one area, which will tie into an existing bulkhead. Would also like to note that this section to the south, there is some natural vegetation present, but the dune will be constructed channeled with existing natural vegetation. This is an existing typical cross-use section showing the grade of the beach. And here we see the proposed dunes after its installation. This will raise the elevation at the dune location to approximately 8 feet above mean low water. A little hard to see, but the artificial dune core will consist of geotextile bags. The bags are approximately 3 feet in width, 3 feet in depth, and 4 feet in height, and will be set out in a 3x2 pyramid pattern. Once these are installed, filled with sand, and they will be placed 1 to 2 feet of sand will be placed on top of the artificial dune section, and then planted with natural vegetation. The applicants are also wishing to install a 5-foot to 7-foot wide walkway consisting of Bermuda grass. The reason they want to do this is they can't afford to put a wood walkway in. It's just cost prohibitive. And they also think that the Bermuda grass will respond better to foot traffic over the dunes compared to natural vegetation. These are some ground shots looking to the south, where you saw the existing natural vegetation. There is not much relief along this section of the beach, but you can see the beach is a little wider, and there's some vegetation trying to establish the dune line system. Looking to the north, the beach is a little narrower, and no real natural vegetation is currently existing. Staff held a public hearing on October 9th for the project, and no objections were received, and this meeting was attended by applicants and adjacent property owners. The MRC requested comments from VIMS. And Vince's comments consisted of planting natural vegetation on our official dune system, maintaining 1 to 2 feet of sand on top of the dune, and also a 3-year monitoring plan of the plantings of natural vegetation. In summary recommendations, staff understands the issues of wave energy and erosion control that the applicants face along the shoreline. Currently, due to the lack of persistent primary dune feature, the applicants are exposed to more storm-driven wave energy. The approach the applicants are proposing would mimic to some lesser degree the protection of a primary dune system would offer. While this system is not designed to protect them from a storm surge during hurricanes or severe winter storms, it may provide some protection during a typical nor'easter. While beach nourishment with breakwaters or groins may be the preferred alternative to shoreline erosion control in this area, these methods are cost prohibitive. What the applicants are proposing should have a minimal adverse environmental impact and may offer some level of protection. As such, staff recommends approval of the project as proposed with the following special permit conditions. A minimum of 1 foot sand cover shall be maintained over the geotextile bags. A planting plan shall be submitted for approval by the commission staff that includes natural vegetation and the use of Bermuda grass as a walkway. The plan shall include provisions for replanting to maintain 80% coverage of vegetation and shall include monitoring for 3 years and the submittal of an annual report at the end of each year for 3 years following proper project construction. Should the constructed dune features fail and they cannot be maintained, the geotextile bags shall be removed and sand spread on the beach. Should the artificial dunes result in unanticipated impacts, the Commission may hold an additional hearing to consider requiring the removal in order such removal is necessary. I'd be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Erskine.
The bags, the geotextile bags, they're filled then with sand, and then you're proposing sand, or the applicant's proposing sand on top.
Yes,
do you, do they may have an idea whether or not those bags would move in a storm? How are they anchored, I guess, or is just the weight of them?
It's just the weight of them.
Okay.
They will be covered with a geogrid material that supposedly will help the plantings hold on to lock into the area as well. But you know, if they do get moved around, I would think they can be relocated back either by putting a new bag, cutting up the old bag and putting a new bag in its place,
mm-hmm.
or possibly physically moving the old bag.
Okay, thank you.
How large are these geotextile bags?
I'm sorry?
How large are these geotextile bags?
They were approximately 3 feet by 3 feet by 4 feet.
Mr. Sessions.
I've never seen this. I've seen the bags, and then of course seen dunes built up with just sand. I've never seen it where you have the bags and then the sand on top of the bags. Has that been done anywhere before in the Commonwealth?
In to the north along the salt ponds, starting in this general area up here and going up to the salt pond inlet, it's a little different situation. The city of Hampton installed the geotube, which is a long tube, and they pumped the sand in, a slurry mixture, and pumped it in. And that's been there for several years, and they've got an established dune line up there at this time. So it's a little different, but the same general idea.
So the sand stays on the bag with
yep,
plant
vegetation occurring
okay.
on top of them at this time.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Johnson. This is a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to testify in favor of this project? Please come forward, sir.
I want to apologize.
Excuse me, I need to swear you in here. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Robert Kerr. Excuse me. I had a stroke in January, so I apologize. I'm the one that designed the dune. And one of the key components of the bag is it has a geogrid that wraps over the dune and it protects it from items in the water, wood, whatever. Also, there's another layer of protection with the filter fabric that will protect it if it gets uncovered temporarily. During, let's say, a storm would uncover it. It would protect it from the UV rays of the sun. Also, the geogrid becomes a root base for the plants. So the vegetation will root into the top of the geogrid, and that's going to hold the sand, keep the sand on the cover on top. So that's why it's the design of it. It's It's real different than anything that's been done before. I'm sorry about my voice. But anyway, like I say, it's designed to take all the vegetation holding that and keeping the sand on it. All that is designed. It's designed to mitigate the storm damage from 5 feet to 8 feet, which is where this area gets a lot of damage. I live also in salt ponds. Came up, started on this 5 years ago because my neighbors kept suffering all this damage during the storm. So I started designing it a long time ago. Whooped off the bench. Mike Johnson's been incredible help, especially with my inability to speak with my stroke. They've been great people to work with. So
I appreciate that, Mr.
I wanted to let you all know that.
Thank you. Any questions from the commission?
Yeah.
Ms. Erskine.
In the presentation, there was discussion about vegetation that was landward of where this proposed dune structure would go. What's that vegetation?
The vegetation is going to, whatever they recommend. I wanted the walkways to be Bermuda, the people coming from their house. So they maintain that Bermuda walkway. It does two things. One, it roots into, it's got an aggressive root system, so it will help hold the sand in that walk area. And then the rest of the dune would be consist of the sea oats and the vegetation that the VIMS and the VMRC recommend. But I think also if you were to build bridges over the dune, then in a storm, that bridge that they built would become a object that would destroy the dune. It would hit, the water would hit, tear it out, and then beat against the bags. I've also designed a system so that you can take, and if a bag gets damaged, I can open up the geogrid, pull the bag out, put a new one in, and then close it back up. With the cost of this, cost-saving factor of this is important. It had to be affordable for my neighbors to do. So I tried to design it so it's easy. It's easier to manage when it's damaged and when it's in the initial cost.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Kerr. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Anybody else?
Thank you.
In the audience wish to testify or in favor of this project as proposed? Anybody in the audience wish to testify against this project? Seeing none, the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Sessoms.
It looks like an effective system. Never seen it before, but it appears to be effective, and I make a recommendation that we approve staff's recommendations along with the special permit conditions 1 through 4.
We have a motion by Mr. Sessoms.
Second.
Second by Mr. Erskine. All in favor say aye.
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 Any no votes? Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously.